Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Fighter's Voice with Don McGuire, presented by Finished MMA and the United Way Merced.
Your boy Sloan Bone of the Mo Thugs Movement, part of the Bone Thugs and Harmony family tree, the 86ers brand ambassador. Check it out though, listen. In a world full of followers, be proud to be different. Be an 86er. So what I need y'all to do is go to the 86ers.net. We got the dopest apparel, men and women. Everything you need for a fresh start. I'm talking tees, zip-ups, tanks, hoodies, and the best hats at a price nobody can match. I'm going to ask you this, though. What do your clothes say about you? If you don't know, come to the 86ers.net and find yourself out. And a special shout out to Don McGuire, the host of The Fighter's Voice. Salute, big homie.
Welcome to The Fighter's Voice. I'm your host, Don McGuire. This is my first show in about 3 weeks now. I had my car accident, so we're kind of getting things going again. But, you know, it's an honor and a privilege to have this guest on, I guess you could say, my return to radio after a few weeks. She went over to Prague. She did a tremendous job, and she's here to talk about that. Without being said, let's welcome Jillian Robertson to the program. Jillian, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. Still on top of the world for my win this weekend, and just finished a hard training session right now, so I'm already getting back to work.
Oh, you always got to stay on the grind. You always got to stay on the grind. You know, I'm going to kind of start today's show off a little bit different because, you know, not very many fighters get to travel out of the country and they get to experience different cultures and different aspects of life and other individuals. What was your experience in Prague like for you, and what did you take away from that?
Prague, I honestly didn't get to explore it too much. I had one day where I was able to walk around a little bit, but it's just through the week, like I'm only there for 5 days, and I'm focused on fighting and focused on cutting weight, and that becomes so much of my time. So I didn't get to explore too much, but honestly, I really want to go back. It was absolutely gorgeous just to look at.
Yeah. You know, one thing that you're a beast. You're proving yourself time and time again. And, you know, it's something that is truly, truly blown me away, to be quite honest with you. You don't see somebody that just jumps up in the UFC and has already accomplished what you've done. You're tied for the most finishes in the flyweight division, and you're not content. What did Jillian Robertson mean by "I'm not content"? I know what you mean as a warrior, but do you have a goal set for yourself? And what does it mean for you to be tied for the most finishes in the UFC in the flyweight division?
To be tied for the most finishes in the flyweight division is absolutely amazing. It's one of the first of many records I plan to set. But I'm definitely not going to be down in history. When I consider myself upon the greats like Jon Jones or Amanda Nunes, then I feel like that's when I can finally be content with my fight career. But until then, I'm going to keep on working until I'm at that level, until I'm on the top.
Yeah, well, you definitely deserve it. You proved yourself quite well. You know, I don't think I've ever asked a fighter a question in this context. You know, close your eyes for a second and take yourself back to that moment when you sunk your arm underneath her chin. You know, you can kind of compare it to when a baseball player, you know, hits the ball and he's hit that sweet spot on the bat, or a football player catches that 60-yard pass and he knows he's going to get the touchdown. What is that moment like for a UFC fighter when you know that arm is sunk underneath the chin, you know you're going to get the rear naked choke? At that moment, what did it feel like for Jillian Robertson?
The second I sunk the choke in, I knew it was in deep. So it's like, I just kept on saying to myself in my head, I'm like, it's over, it's over, it's over, it's over. I just knew that it was finally, like, I was just waiting. It was either she was going to sleep or I was getting the tap, no matter what. And it's just at that moment, I feel like all those weeks of hard work, like however long your camp is like 4 to 6 weeks. This one was 4 weeks for me. And it's like that whole month, all I'm thinking about is one person, one task, one thing. And at that moment, I can stop thinking about it. And it's just like a wave of relief. It's like it's done, it's over, that you finally accomplished what you've been working for the last month, the last 6 weeks. And it's just like, it's that feeling of relief.
You know, I hear you there. You know, you look at the story of how you've come to be, and, you know, you don't have the major fight camps. You don't have the major gyms, per se, that truly stand by you and help you. You know, a lot of this is built by heart yourself to move so vastly and so quickly in the UFC and do it with minimal, you know, people behind you.
I feel like Dean Thomas is just such a huge part of my career, and he has been since the beginning. I started at his school here in Port St. Lucie, and he just had a little ATT school that I started at, and he put all the time into me, where it was just spending extra hours at the gym where it was just me and him, or just me, him, and one drilling partner. And we were like, he put the time into me, and he built the foundation, and that's what allows me to be so successful in the UFC.
You know, I remember the first time I had you on the show, you just came off a tremendous victory. And, you know, sometimes a lot of shows, they want to, you know, they want to harp on when we have a bad outing. But you were ultimately taught a lesson, but it made you stronger. What did Julianne Robertson take away from the lesson that you learned in your last fight that allowed you to come out and be so devastating in Prague?
I feel like a lot of it from my last fight was I didn't feel 100% mentally ready because I didn't have a camp with Dean. I didn't work with Dean at all that camp. It was a short camp. It was only 3 weeks long whenever I accepted that fight against Myra Buena Silva. And it was also during Tyron's camp. So Tyron was, and Dean was up in Milwaukee with Tyron Woodley at the time. And again, the same thing happened this time, except I made the changes where I went up and I spent the time with him in Milwaukee, and we were working two or three times a day, and as well as me doing the pro classes and running and everything else. So I feel like he really put the time into me this camp because I put, like, I made the effort to go up to spend time with him, and I feel like that made all the difference.
Yeah, it truly did. You know, I've been researching because I was in a car accident on my way to shoot Invicta FC and kind of totaled my car out. I'm in between waiting now on surgery. But I got to read a lot of articles about you, and there's a lot of people saying that you're probably one of the most devastating flyweights when it comes to the ground. How does that make you feel, Jillian, knowing that the sport is starting to recognize your ability on the ground, but you're very capable of as a stand-up fighter, but now you're being recognized worldwide for your capabilities on the ground?
Oh, that's awesome to me, and especially – I feel like a lot of times jiu-jitsu people get such a bad rap because it can tend to be a boring fight, just people sitting on top of each other. But my jiu-jitsu style is different, where I'm constantly attacking, always looking for the submission. So I feel like it definitely makes it more interesting, and I'm always trying to finish fights.
And see, and I understand that because you go back 4 years in my career, I started shooting jiu-jitsu, and I'll be honest with you, I really didn't like it. It was boring, but I was like, hey, I'm getting paid good money for a couple hours. But I found myself three or four seminars in, and I started seeing something develop. I started, you know, really starting to like it. And then I got to meet Professor J.W. Wright from Gracie Humada. And, you know, I had interviewed him several times and shot him a seminar, but we actually just sat down and talked, and he said, you know, one thing I'd like to see you do is put down the camera and put on a gi. And I went to shoot a seminar, and I finally did that. So I finally got to understand what jiu-jitsu means. And I'll tell you what, during this accident, I really found out what it meant. Because I've been in this industry for 23 years, and the people that came to my back the quickest and the ones that helped me the most were the jiu-jitsu community. What does the brotherhood and the sisterhood of the jiu-jitsu community mean to you, Jillian? Because it truly is a foundation that you're built on.
It 100% is the foundation that I'm built on. And frequently visiting my parents, that's where I started, and that's where like being close to a school up in Port Kennedy, but his black belts and his students are still up here. And to visit Port Kennedy, I feel like that is family to me. It just feels like home to be able to train on those mats and just be surrounded by those people. It's just, you know, they are truly looking at you and really helped you get to where you are today. Like, I wouldn't be the fighter that I am today without every single person who helped me along the way.
You know, I love it because I never realized how much of a community and how tight-knit they were. You know, you're coming off this tremendous victory in Prague. You talk about you're already back in the gym looking for your next fight. A lot of people were saying that, you know, you're gonna shoot to the top quick. How does one like yourself, I mean, you've been in the sport since, you know, I think 2013 as an amateur, but how does one like yourself prepare yourself mentally, physically, and emotionally, I mean, for this rise? Because you're growing in the sport very fast.
I feel like, I don't know, I've been preparing myself for this for a while now. I've known it's coming. I've known that, like, I want to be the most active fighter in the UFC, so I know that I'm going to keep on fighting and I'm going to make my way to the top. I know I have the potential to put away any girl, and this is really all I do, so I'm just staying focused on it constantly.
That's tremendous because I remember the first time I interviewed you, you were just coming off of one of your, I think it was your first fight in the UFC, and you were so pumped and happy about it. But now you're seeming to be more well-defined, more understanding of where your place is in the sport. You know, not many people are capable of stepping up in a major promotion like you did and proving to the world. You know, it's tremendous to see young fighters grow because you can tell by the way you speak of the sport that you love it. You know, sitting back now and you look back over your shoulder and you look at the day you first stepped into the sport, did you ever realize that you would be considered by many one of the fastest growing warriors in the sport?
Oh, 100%. This is like the last thing I ever expected in my mind. I feel like it's still crazy to me that I've even gotten this far almost. Like, it's just, I don't, like, before I started training, all I did was, like, play with animals, and I never had that aggression in me or anything like that, so this is 100%, like, never what I expected to be when I was growing up, but once I started, I just absolutely fell in love.
Yeah, you know, because I watched your career, we've been friends on social media for a while, but I've watched your career, and I watched this shy kind of person in life, you know, kind of now you're opening up, you're expressing yourself more, you're sharing more of yourself on social media, you're doing different aspects. You know, how does it feel to finally feel like you're coming 360, that you're finding that spot that you've truly been looking for?
I feel like martial arts has helped me find that spot a lot. It's helped me find my confidence in myself, and it just almost makes you assume that role whenever you're becoming one of the leaders in the gym, kind of one of the people in the gym. When I was growing up, I was like 18, 19 years old, being one of the best, growing to be one of the best people in my gym, and then now I'm in Coconut Creek, so I'm surrounded by people who are just confident, and the crowd I'm putting myself in now, so it's like, it's a champion mindset. It's just the way that I feel like I'm growing into it now. I'm just, growing out of the socially awkward child a little bit more.
Most definitely. You know, if people truly follow your career, they would look and they would see that you probably have more rear naked chokes and more armbar finishes than any flyweight that I've ever seen. You know, I looked at it and I was like, geez, she's a beast on the ground, you know, but you have a tremendous striking ability. You know, when you look at the way you train and you look at where you're at now, you know, you've transitioned yourself basically from a jiu-jitsu, I guess you would call it a phenom, because you truly are. I mean, you look at all the arm bars, all the rear neck, you know, rear naked chokes and all the aspect of you from that side. How did you correlate yourself over to the striking ability? How did you build that? What did your coaches instill in you to make you the 360 package that you are now?
I honestly started with striking. Whenever I first started training, I started with a cardio kickboxing class at Dean's Gym. And then that kind of evolved to his MMA class, which was still, it was like striking, wrestling, and no gi jujitsu. And I didn't start gi jujitsu until about a year and a half after I started training. And it was just once I started training in the gi, I fell in love with it, and I fell in love with jujitsu 100% then. But I actually started with striking. So I've been training it all along. It's just, I feel like I'm just not a, I never picked it up as quickly as I picked up jujitsu.
Oh, yeah, because jiu-jitsu should be your middle name. The way you watch your fights, it should be your middle name. It's crazy because, you know, I've interviewed hundreds and hundreds and probably thousands of fighters in my career. And, you know, and I look back and I looked at the statistics of your career. Almost every one of your fights is an armbar or rear naked choke or a submission. And, you know, you don't see that generally in almost every fight. So you obviously found your true passion for the sport through jiu-jitsu, and it's allowed you to grow. You know, that caught me off guard that you said you actually got started in striking, because you never would have thought that looking at your record. You know, the UFC is a tremendous promotion, and there's a lot of people now talking about you. There's a lot of hype behind you. You know, with you being as humble as shy as you are in life, how do you handle the pressure of all the press hitting you, everybody wanting an interview with you? How do you control that aspect, Jillian? Because I know you're a quiet soul in life.
That's probably the hardest part for me. I feel like it's kind of crazy to me. It blows my own mind that I have no problem walking in a cage and fighting in front of thousands of people. But sometimes just having like a Skype phone call, it'll freak me out. Like, I can't handle it. I'm just talking to people is definitely 100% different thing than fighting someone in a cage. But I've definitely had a lot of practice on it, and it gets easier with time.
Yeah, I trust me, I know that feeling. I could talk, you know, on the microphone all day long, but you try to put me on a stage with a mic in my hand in front of thousands of people. It's not happening. I can't do that. That isn't who I am. You know, I was amazed by the precision, the technical ability that you showed against Veronica. You know, I think it was one of your best fights today, you know, and that's kind of, you know, everybody says, oh, your next fight's going to be your best fight, but I think this fight truly defines you. I think you found a part of Jillian Robertson that you were looking for. Would you say that's a fair assessment, that this fight was probably one of your greatest fights to date?
Yes and no. I think as a fighter, you're your own biggest critic. So, yeah, I feel like this is probably my best fight mentally. I felt more comfortable than ever in there, and 100% just in the fight. But like, just watching it back, I already have a list of probably 10 to 15 things that I need to start drilling next week. So I, like I said, I'm my own biggest critic, so yeah, it's probably one of my better fights, but I need a lot to work on still.
That's actually a good answer, because I mean, being a journalist and being a photographer, you know, like, let's say, for instance, I'm editing something and I'm not happy with a picture, and I delete it, and people look at me and go, that was a beautiful picture. But I understand it, because we do look at ourselves different. We look at what we do different than most people, and if it isn't up to our standard, then we change it. And so I get what you're saying in that aspect. But, you know, you did a tremendous job in Prague. The world's taken notice. You know, what would you like to happen next for you, Jillian? Because you're about ready to break a record. You know, I know you will in your next fight. You know, I already have that much faith in you, and I've watched your career, and I'm a fan of yours. But what would you like to happen next? What would you like for the UFC to offer you? What type of opportunity would you like to see come to apparition?
I know UFC Miami is coming up, and I believe it's April 27th. And that would be absolutely amazing to be on. Finally have something local, since I've flown to all my opponents' hometowns for my last couple fights. And I'm really ready for anyone. I would love to have a top 15 opponent. I believe I deserve that now. And I feel like Paige VanZant is a great opponent for me. I feel like they might pair me up with Montana De La Rosa, just seeing as we're both tied for the most finishes right now in the flyweight division. But really anybody I'm ready for. I just want a top 15 girl.
I would actually like to see that fight with Paige VanZant. I think that would be a great fight. But I do think they will go the other way because, you are tied with the most with De La Rosa. But the thing of it is, you're proving to the world and you're showing the world that you can accomplish anything that you set your mind to. You know, after the fight was over, Jillian, and you were sitting back and you got that brief moment to think about what happened, what just transpired. What thoughts went through your heart? What thoughts went through your mind?
I feel like at this moment I'm still at the point of just like, I'm happy that it's over. I'm happy that I don't have to worry about that right now. And then as soon as I get another name, I'll be ready for it. But right now I'm just, this week I'm happy with that moment of relief where I'm not 100% focused in. I can kind of play around and make you a little bit more and just relax and not 100% focus on fighting just for this week.
Yeah, just sit back and enjoy it and relish in it. You know, I look back, like I said, to the first time I interviewed you, and it's tremendous. But, you know, the future is bright for you, and a lot of your fan base is growing. You're a humble, shy person in real life, but you're devastating in the cage. You know, what type of intent does your coach whisper in your ear to transform you from who you are in real life to once the cage door closes? What type of intent, what type of talks do they have with you to prepare you for that moment?
Really, it's just, in that moment, it's all about me more than anything else. And the coach, he gets me ready before the fight. He gets me drilling the game plan constantly over and over. So then by the time I walk in the cage, it's pretty much deja vu. My body just knows what to do. And the moments before the fight, I'm just focusing on my breathing, just focusing on being in the moment and being in the present moment and not thinking about the future, thinking about the past, and just being calm and relaxed. And I feel like fighting isn't necessarily an aggressive thing for me. It's more of mentally outsmarting my opponent. So that's all I try to focus on.
Yeah. You know, there was a statement that, you know, you went out to Prague and everyone was questioning you and the abilities of you. And now you went out to Prague and you proved the world wrong. You know, how much more, because I don't think a lot of people understand that the more fights you have, the more intent, the more focused you become, the more belief you have in yourself. Now that you've went out to Prague and you've proved to the world that you're willing, you're able, and you're capable of taking out some of the top 10 opponents and becoming a champion in the flyweight division, what does it mean to you to be able to look back at the people that didn't believe you had what it took?
I feel like I'm never looking at them anyway. I'm only looking at my supporters. Anybody who's following me are the only people that I pay attention to in my life.
Yeah. You know, you're 23 years old and you're already creating records. You know, you've created a legacy already. Now you're starting to build a foundation for your name, for future generations of your family. What does that mean to you, Jillian, knowing that you've already built a legacy, and now you're creating a foundation of that legacy? If you had to, let's say if you had a journal and you opened up it and you had to write the first statement of what that meant to you from this moment on, what would that statement mean in that journal?
It's like, really, this is my life. This is everything that I do. I for this last camp, I was training four times a day. And it's like, even when I'm out of camp, I'm training two or three times a day. So when people always ask me what are your hobbies? What do you do outside of training? I really don't know what to say because it's really all I do. So it's like any time I win, any time I finally get my hand raised or move that one step close to the belt, it's really everything I work for and everything I put my life into.
You know, one thing I don't think a lot of people caught, and that was the tremendous sweep before you were able to get her in the rear naked choke. You know, and then I go and I read a post that one of your teammates, I believe, posted about come in and learn the same sweep that Jillian Robertson used in Prague. You know, what does it feel like to you to have, you know, people sharing the knowledge that you ascertain with the youth and the younger generation in the sport?
Oh, that was actually one of my coaches from back home who shared that post. But it means the world to me. I love to be able to teach jiu-jitsu to people. I love that it's just something that, like, the littlest things can make such a huge difference. So it enables someone my size who's 140 pounds to be able to manhandle 200 pound guys just by, like, the way I put my fingers, the way I grab some things. So jiu-jitsu is a beautiful sport that has changed my life. So I love the fact that I learn it.
You know, I have to agree with you. It's tremendous. You know, one thing that I wanted to talk about before, you know, we kind of wrap things up here in just a little bit was the ethics and the discipline that goes into the creation of who you are. But I wanted to ask you, what does pride, passion, and perseverance truly mean to Jillian Robertson?
I feel like I feel like especially with the passion and perseverance, like I feel like that's all it is just falling in love with something and keep going with it. Like, that's what makes you successful in anything that you do, whether it's jiu-jitsu or soccer or whatever. It just fall in love with it and keep on, like, keep going, keep showing up, because that's the only way you're going to get better.
Truly is, and it's truly the martial way. It's what creates a martial artist, and you're truly defining that. You know, Jillian, a lot of times in life we don't get an opportunity to thank those that helped create us, or the ones that gave us that nudge when we didn't want to do something, the people that helped define us. You know, if you had that opportunity, which I'm going to give you, to thank those people, what would that statement be to the ones that stood behind, you know, stood beside you, not behind you, not in front of you, but stood beside you through your ups and downs, your adversity, your trials, your tribulations, the ones that, like I said, you know, whispered those words that you needed to hear in your ear at the right moment. What would the word of thanks be to those people?
It's just, like, there's no way to just put it into words. There's been hundreds of people who have helped me for, like I said, I started when I was 16 years old, so I'm 8 years deep in this game, and I didn't get here by myself. There's no way that I would have made it to the UFC without 100 different people helping me along the way, holding my hand, and it's been an amazing experience. I'm just thankful for everybody who's been a part of it.
Yeah. Well, you surely are taking the world by surprise and by storm. You truly are showing everybody what you're built of. And I gotta tell you, you know, this last outing of yours in Prague, it truly stunned me. You know, I think truly I seen a warrior become defined in her path, and it's tremendous when you can see somebody that really loves the sport find that aspect, because I think the world is at your beck and call. I really do wish to give you Paige Van Zandt. I would really love to see that. I think you would dominate that fight. I think you are deserving of a top 10 fighter. I think you deserve an opportunity. I think you've proved yourself. You know, there's not very many people that are doing what you're doing in the sport and doing it with the due diligence and the devastation that you are. You know, I wanted you on. I was so honored that you said yes, because sometimes it's hard to get a hold of you, and I wanted my first show back after my car accident to be with you and share with the world what you did in Prague. You know, you look at that aspect, and you have the greatest takeaways now, and you move forward, and you grew from this. But I'm so humbled and honored that you came on this show, that it's because I've watched you grow in the UFC. And you don't see people grow this fast. You don't see the sport take to them and talk about them as fast as they are you. I think you got a long and bright future in the sport to come. I think your jiu-jitsu game is phenomenal. I mean, I can't get over how deep that was. That rear naked was probably one of the deepest I've seen in a long time. And you attacked with devastation. You know, my friend, I'm truly proud of you, and I'm honored that you came on the show. If there was a statement you can make to your fans about how grateful you are because your fan base is growing, what would that statement to your fans be in thanks of how much support they've given you?
I'm 100% thankful for every single one of them. Like I said, with all my teammates and everything, I wouldn't be here without them. I wouldn't have any way, like I wouldn't have been able to make it this far without any fans. So I'm 100% thankful for all the support that I get.
You know, I can't wait to your next fight already. I'll be quite honest with you.
Me either.
You know, I have one question. You know, with You did a post, you said the best corner in the game with that K-Rock MMA. What does it mean for you to have that type of aspect with you going into the fight?
Kayla has been with me 2 years probably, every single day in the back room, spending hours and hours just drilling. She's the reason that I get so – I feel like – her and Dean put so much time into me and put more time into me than anybody else in the world. So they're the reason that I improve at the rate that I am right now. And I couldn't be more thankful for those two.
Yeah, that's so awesome. You know, my friend, I'm so very proud of you. You did a tremendous job over there. I hope you get the opportunity to fight on your hometown ground. That'd be tremendous for you to be able to fight in Florida. You know, you deserve it. You kind of remind me of Zach Cummings. Zach Cummings has to fight everywhere but home. And in the final, when he did get the opportunity to fight at home, he injured himself, so he didn't even get it then. But I think he's the only UFC fighter that I know that's fought everywhere in the world but the USA. It's kind of sad, but, you know, they have him fighting everywhere else. You know, like I said, I'm proud of you. I'm honored that you decided to come on my show and share with my listeners a little bit of what happened for you in Prague. You know, I'm extremely proud of the ability that you show and, you know, how the sports world is taken to you and given you the proper, you know, aspects and love that you truly have earned. You know, you truly have worked hard. I've watched your career. You've worked very, very hard to get where you're at, and I'm proud of you, my friend. I'm going to hand the mic to you, though. If you have any sponsors, friends or family, social media sites, or just anything else you'd like to add to the program, the floor is yours, Joanne.
Just a shout out to my sponsors, Good Better Days CBD, FTWR brand, where you can get your Savage shirt, and Chef Fit Meal Plans. And then, of course, my Instagram and my Twitter is at Savage_UFC. If you want to follow me there, that would be awesome.
My friend, you did a tremendous job. I can't wait to your next fight. I'd love to have you back on before your next fight. If they get you in Florida on the next UFC card when they're there, I'd love to have you on back on the show. You truly are a tremendous young lady growing up in this sport, and you're showing the world that you truly have earned the right to be here. And I can't wait to see you break the record, to be quite honest with you. But with that being said, my friend, I truly am honored that you joined the show this evening. I appreciate it, and I can't wait to see you in the octagon again.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Thank you, Jillian. You have a good night. God bless. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Jillian Robertson. A little hard to hear her at times. I'm not sure if it was her reception or mine, but, you know, you got to look at it. Three fights into the UFC and truly already creating records. I mean, she's a tremendous young lady, a tremendous young warrior. I can't wait to see her next fight as she's truly showing the world what it is to be humble and devastating at the same time. With that being said, I want to thank my sponsors, Finished MMA, Juan Martinez, the86ers.net, Cutman for Hire with Jacob Stitch Duran and Juan Ramirez, and Buy Me Mouthguards with Joe Rice. I apologize. The show wasn't really on point tonight. I'm in a little bit more pain than I should. I probably should have took another week off. But this Saturday, early Saturday morning. I got Abigail Velasquez getting ready to fight in BK, the Bare Knuckle Fighting Championships, and then we're going to start rerunning those fighters from the next card on April 6th through the show. And then on Sunday, I got John Fitch set to fight in Bellator. We got a few things going, so I better get out of pain and get this show rocking before my surgeries. Thank you to everybody who's donated to my GoFundMe. Thank you, everybody that believes in me and has supported me. I truly appreciate you all. Have a good night, and God bless.
I'm in the booth. I'm in the booth. Say something on the mic. Booth. Say something heavy.
Whip for him, I get deported. Bitch me alive, less than anointed. Broke this at 111, recorded. Clock struck 12, bank on Warner. Might sound with Stoney just for some stock, nigga. Still independent, been in the lot, nigga. Cream on the seats, cream of the crop, nigga. Had to wait for the heat, then whip the yacht, nigga. Talk overseas, no Portuguese. I made kiss on the sleeve, my soul is clean. Whole word of respect, all this is check. Lessons in the city where they preach, I'm on the back. Papa told me don't trust no more. Mama told me don't